go rebuild my church, which as you can see is falling into ruins. These are the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi from an image of Christ on the crucifix at San Damiano in 1205 AD. These same words inspired Peter Doan, the host of the program you're about to hear. Peter challenges all of us to rebuild not the brick and mortars of our church buildings, but our personal faith and relationships that will rebuild and strengthen the church. Now here's today's program.
Hi, I'm Peter Doan.
And I'm Leslie Doan.
And you're listening to the radio broadcast, Go Rebuild My Church. Each week in this broadcast, we will explore ways to put into practice the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi by our Lord, and how this theme is relevant as we seek to bring renewal to the church today.
Our passion for renewal was ignited when we came home to the Catholic Church 13 years ago, and that's when we heard the call to rebuild and joined efforts with many other renewal movements within the church.
You can learn more about our journey home and our lay apostolate dedicated to renewal in the Catholic Church by visiting our website at www.catholicdiscipleshipministries.org.
Our prayer is through the ministry of this radio program and our lay apostolate, we can provide pathways for you as individuals, your families, as well as parishes to join the rebuilding process and experience renewal. Now, if you are a new listener and you're joining us for the first time, we want to welcome you and catch you up a little bit. We're doing a series of broadcasts that call forth the process of spiritual rebuilding and renewal of local parishes that's actually found in the book of Revelation. The sacred scriptures are so enlightening and encouraging, especially during this time that we find ourselves in. It's really, there's just a lot around us that's being shaken right now, isn't there, Peter?
Yes, Leslie, both inside and outside the church as well.
And we need to hear this word from Jesus and really listen carefully to it. So through these broadcasts, we're hoping to show how Jesus has been calling parishes to rebuild and renew throughout history, even dating back to that first century time and those early churches.
Amen to that, Leslie. And yes, in these broadcasts, we're pulling together the sacred scripture, excerpts from the Catechism, the lives of the saints, and the teaching of the church as we seek to challenge individuals, families, and local parishes to rebuild and renew the Catholic faith here in America. Now, last week, we completed our study concerning the church at Thyatira, the fourth of seven churches in the book of Revelation, their failures and their need to repent. In each letter, we've been learning about specific cities, along with the characteristic Jesus Christ gives them, written about in Revelation 1. Jesus gives almost every church four things, Leslie, we've discovered. First of all, a commendation, then a criticism, then a correction, and finally, a crown if they overcome and repent. And as we mentioned, this would be a very good structure for a church staff to use as an overlay for evaluating the parish, those four dimensions, both identifying the strengths and also being able to look at where the parish may be off track and needs to turn around.
And I think this structure is a really good structure for us who are studying the book of Revelation because it helps us follow along with what Jesus is saying.
Yes. So today we're going to introduce the fifth church in the book of Revelation, the church at Sardis. Let's read the sacred scriptures as we introduce this parish in Revelation 3, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And to the angel of the church of Sardis write, these are the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and seven stars. Now this is Jesus speaking, Leslie.
The description of Jesus.
Right. I know your works, and you have a name of being alive, but you're dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is at the point of death. For I have not found your works complete. It's so interesting that Jesus looks at our works, Leslie, you know, that he's pointing out the fact that he's watching their works.
Right, and we're not saved by works, but we are saved for works.
Very good. In the sight of my God, remember then what you've received and heard. Obey it and repent. If you do not wake up, I will come as a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. Yet you still have a few persons in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. If you conquer, there's that conquering thing, that overcoming. You will be clothed like them in white robes, and I will not blot your name out from the book of life. That's interesting. We're going to talk more about that next week. I will confess your name before my Father and before his angels. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Wow, there's a lot in there, Leslie.
Okay, so listeners, we're now more than halfway through our study of these churches, and we've looked at Ephesus, who had left their first love, the church at Smyrna, who experienced persecution and were encouraged not to fear, the church at Pergamum, where some had been seduced and were living a morally compromised lifestyle or immorality, mm-hmm. and then finally, last week, we looked at the church at Thyatira, where the Catholic believers were tolerating sin and the false teaching of the prophetess Jezebel. We've covered a lot of ground, Peter.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Each church and each believer is encouraged to have an ear, like the scripture says, to hear what the Spirit says. And this gives us all a ray of hope and a way of life. So, Peter, these messages are meant to include us, right?
That's absolutely correct, Leslie. They were written in the first century through the Apostle John, but that most Bible scholars have said that these churches are prophetic as well. In other words, they speak to the church in every age. So let's look at the church of Sardis. And Jesus said, you look alive outwardly, but inwardly, you're spiritually dead.
Now, in this series, we've been starting by giving our listeners some background about each of the churches. Peter, can you tell us a little bit more about Sardis?
Yeah, so the city of Sardis was located on what was called then the Pactolus River, and in present-day Turkey. This is interesting because the city was built on a peak where three sides of the peak were vertical smooth walls. People felt secure in that city and that location because these were natural defenses in the city. Sardis was once one of the greatest cities in the world, interestingly enough. It had been the capital of the ancient kingdom of Lydia, and then in the 6th century BC was ruled by a wealthy king whose name, interestingly, was Croesus, who became a byword during that time of uncounted wealth. Several times, armies had tried to overthrow this city, but they were unable to do so because of these steep cliffs. But then twice in its history, it fell into a foreign assault by Persians and then by the Greeks, and both victories were achieved by stealth at night.
Yes, history does tell us that in the dead of night, a band of brave soldiers climbed up the sides of the ravine and entered an unwatched gate and overthrew the city. And both times, the enemy troops scaled up the steep, smooth sides of the cliffs at night and took the city. And in both cases, the people had become very lax in their defenses. Mm-hmm. And the city had the reputation of being impenetrable, and yet it was captured twice. So that's pretty interesting.
Yes. So it's interesting, Leslie, in some of these churches, they reflect both the culture of the city that they're in, and even sometimes in this situation, the topography that surrounds them as well. The church in this city, interestingly enough, also is one of the least pleasing to Jesus of the seven churches to whom these letters were written. Our Lord finds nothing to commend them about.
Well, what do you think this tells us about the city itself?
Well, I think that tells us that the city got complacent.
Right.
And the people got complacent not only militarily, but they got complacent spiritually as well.
Okay, Peter. Well, we're going to have to take a short break right now. And when we return, we're going to discuss how this church in Sardis took on the characteristics spiritually of the city in which they lived. So please, listeners, stay with us.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood, in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Alexa, what's the weather forecast for today?
Alexa, what time is the Colts game today?
Alexa, remind me to pick up the dry cleaning tomorrow.
Has Alexa become a part of your daily routine? Then make sure that routine includes Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Quick, easy access to Catholic programming 24/7. Just say, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to our radio program, Go Rebuild My Church. Today we are focusing on the fifth of the seven local churches or parishes that we find in chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation. And this is the church at Sardis. And we see that there is a prophetic picture of the condition of this church found in the history of the city. And we left off where we were talking about Jesus and how he described himself in this situation. Peter, could you tell us a little bit more about that and what he means when he calls himself the one who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars?
Right, Leslie. So we've noticed that with each church, Jesus always introduces himself and a characteristic that is particular to the church that he's addressing. And here, Jesus identifies himself as the one who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Now, these symbols were identified for us in the first chapter of Revelation, and those seven spirits are a symbol of the Holy Spirit in its fullness, in his fullness. What this church at Sardis desperately needed was the Holy Spirit to come alive in them. In all these letters, the life of the church is revealed in its deeds, as I pointed out earlier. Our Lord says, as he does in most of the letters, I know your deeds, I know your works. So in Sardis, there were works that were done to impress people, Jesus is saying. They gave the church a name, a live, vibrant church and parish. They looked like and they acted like they had a good reputation, but they had a good reputation, yes, but it actually, Jesus is saying, it was a dead church.
That's super interesting.
Yeah. The members of it were, for the most part, Catholic Christians in name only. They were not spiritually alive. You know, we've talked about before what it means to be nominal in our Catholic Christianity. Nominal comes from the word name. Someone who has a name for something, our Lord has declared. Jesus said, you have a name that you're alive, but you're not alive, you're dead. So this indicates, Leslie, a church made up of people who outwardly profess Jesus Christ and their faith, but probably many of them thought of themselves, yes, as true believers, but actually possessed no spiritual life. They were Catholic Christians in name only.
Well, this makes me really think about a comparison to some of our churches today. And sometimes we see parishes that have incredibly busy calendars. They have festivals and galas, bingo, trivia nights, pancake breakfast, fish fries, blood drives, trips to sporting events, you name it. Yet, although these parishes may look alive on the outside, there's a risk that they could be spiritually dead. Can you talk to us a little bit about that some more?
Well, we've mentioned when we started this series, Leslie, that I reference a scholar, Peter Williamson, a Catholic who has written a commentary on the book of Revelation. And when he was talking about Sardis, he made this tongue-in-cheek comparison. He said, many times when we go in a parish, we may see more people standing in line for the pancake breakfast than for confession. And it was kind of a tongue-in-cheek thing, but there's some truth to that.
Yes, there really is.
So Jesus here wants to teach us a different kind of what it means to be alive in the parish.
Right, because the activities aren't bad in themselves.
No, no.
There's a sense of community that's created with these activities.
Right, right. But I think Jesus is implying here that we need to remember the dynamics that really keep the Catholic faith alive. They're not primarily, first of all, social activities, but rather they're three things. Number one, sacramental life that leads to outreach. Number two, the corporal works of mercy. And number three, evangelization. You know, when we go to Mass, and we've talked about this before too, at the end of Mass in Latin, it says, ita missa est. In other words, now you've been in the sacrament, now go. And this is what we're talking about here. The Church of Sardis, said the Lord, is a church that had a reputation, again, of being very alive, but was really dead. But there was a time, Jesus implies, Leslie, as we read those scriptures, when the church was alive, when it had been filled with people who were alive in Christ and the faith, because they knew him, they probably served the homeless in that city and the needy as well. That is the way they won their initial reputation that Jesus referenced. They appeared to be people committed to good works initially, but now they had no life in them. And, you know, I think I thought about this too, Leslie, when Paul talks in 1 Corinthians 13 about being involved in different works and things. He says, though I speak in tongues, I have the gift of prophecy, I can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and even if I have faith that can move mountains, and he said, even if I deliver my body to be burned, be a martyr, but if I don't have love, I become a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Now, here in Sardis, we have a church that once had a great ministry, but it had slipped away from them. It once had such an impact on this city of Sardis, but now nothing was happening.
Now, I know as you were preparing, Peter, you thought a lot about when we returned to the Catholic Church and how one of the signposts leading us back to the church was actually Mother Teresa.
Yeah, and the whole issue of good works done in the faith.
Well, share with us a little bit about the documentary that really changed your life.
Well, so we, back in the 80s, lived in San Jose, California, and we went to the movies one night in Los Gatos. And there was a documentary that was advertised about Mother Teresa. And as we sat there and watched that documentary, the Spirit of God did something special in my life. And it followed Mother Teresa around. And there were little miracles and big miracles happening all along the way. And one of the things that really happened that impacted me was there was a civil war going on in Lebanon, and Mother Teresa went to the officials and said she had to get in to the city because there was an orphanage of special needs children that had been abandoned. And she said that, I want to get in there. She went to the officials, and the officials said, Mother, you can't go in there. It's a dangerous place. And she said, well, we'll pray. And all this is happening in the documentary. Well, 2 days later, there was a ceasefire.
I remember that. And she was able to get into the city.
Yeah. And she and her sisters went in to that orphanage. And again, this is a documentary. This is happening. We're watching it as it happens. There was this one little boy that was severely
handicapped.
Mm-hmm. And she just began to rub his head and rub his face. And as that was taking place, the little boy began to just stare at her and look up and smile. And when I saw that happening, it just broke me. And there was something like it was going on in Sardis. There was something that I had gotten into in terms of maybe going through the motions in some of the parts of my Christianity at that time that just broke me in that movie theater. And the Lord really used that not only to make me awaken in the area of good works and good deeds in a further dimension, but the Lord used that night to put the seeds in us, Leslie, remember, to be drawn back to the Catholic Church.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Peter, because it's time for another break. And when we return, we're going to discuss how the Lord's always reaching out to us, and at times he may even use challenging events in our lives to make us more aware of the important things in our Catholic faith and lifestyle. So please stay with us.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Hi, I'm Patty Cochran. Are you a non-Catholic who listens to Catholic Radio? Would you like to find out more about how to join the Catholic Church? There's a program called RCIA that can introduce you to the Catholic faith, and it's available at your local parish. You don't have to make a commitment to participate in the program. Just try it out. I did, and it was one of the best steps I've ever made. Contact your local parish office for more information and start your journey home.
You are listening to the radio program, Go Rebuild My Church, and today we're continuing our series, The Call to Rebuild the Church, here in America by studying the seven churches in the book of Revelation. In our last segment, we discussed how in Revelation 3, Jesus begins to address the church at Sardis. They had a reputation, one that they were projecting and believing that it was true, that they were alive in the faith, practicing the things that they were taught when they were founded. But unfortunately, Jesus says they were actually dead spiritually. Peter, why do you think the warnings to the church of Sardis are so relevant for us today?
Well, see, on that point, I think of in past broadcasts, we have mentioned that statistically, the Catholic Church in America has some troubling, serious trends that we've looked at that calls for the rebuilding and the renewal of the church, the theme of our program. And just to make mention, I think some of the real important attention getters, if you will, would be number one, that regular mass attendance on Sundays hovers around just 25%. Matthew Kelly, a few years ago, brought out some of these statistics, as well as Sherry Waddell in her book that she wrote 12 years ago, Forming Intentional Disciples. Secondly, that 67% of Catholics, some statistics have said, do not believe in the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. And I know that this has gotten the attention of a lot of American leaders, bishops, to look at that and to begin to take action towards it. Thirdly, and this is a new statistic, Leslie, that I discovered, that 7% of Catholics, only 7%, go to confession once a month. And the reason that caught my attention, because when I was on staff at the Catholic parish and was director of the RCIA, one of the things that we did was really encourage people as they became Catholic to go to confession once a month. And the fact that only 7% of all Catholics in America go once a month really, I think, is somewhat telltale. Then here's another stat that was discovered as a result of a Gallup poll in March of 2021.
Right, this is a very recent one.
Yeah, this is the percentage of Catholics who say that they're a member of the church has dropped by nearly 20 points since the year 2000. Think of that, according to this report by Gallup. Among respondents who said that they were Catholic, only 58% actually said they were the member of a church. That figure was down 18 points from the 76% of Catholics who said that they were a member of the church in previous Gallup polls from 1998 to 2000. The reason I think that this is so important, Leslie, is belonging to a church is critical to our spiritual life. And we found this out recently on a personal note, didn't we?
Yes, absolutely.
So Leslie and I recently went through a real trial. And Leslie had a serious accident that we've mentioned before. And in the midst of that, the Lord intervened and rescued you, Leslie, and is now bringing you back to health. Thank the Lord. I know that during that time of healing, the Lord has been speaking to you about some important things that relate to our topic today. And that is the importance of being alive in Jesus Christ and doing the kind of works that reflect being alive in the Lord. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yes, I'm really grateful to have this opportunity to share about my accident. And as Peter mentioned, almost 8 weeks ago, I suffered a serious fall, which resulted in a broken nose, concussion, and 3 brain bleeds, one of which was occurring in the inner part of my brain. And if you don't know, all brain bleeds are potentially life-threatening. So I was moved into ICU, where I spent 3 days. And of course, we had many family members and friends and our church all across the country, people praying for me. And I firmly believe that the prayers of the saints were heard. Like Peter said, it's so important to be connected to the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And then after having an angiogram, we received very good news. It was answered prayer. The brain bleeds were stable, and they weren't getting any worse, and they had ruled out any malformation or aneurysm that may have caused the internal bleeding in my brain. And I think what I'm trying to say, though, or what I've learned through all this, is that God uses situations like this to speak to us and refocus us. And this is what happened to me. I found myself realizing in a much deeper way how fragile life is. As Jesus told the church at Sardis, mm-hmm. he said he will come like a thief, mm-hmm. and you will not know at what hour he's going to come to you. And he comes like a thief in the night, and we want to be ready to go home with him. And my accident also made me reflect on how I should use my remaining time on the earth. And I found myself really renewed, Peter, in my commitment to daily devotions, scripture reading, my prayers. And we need all that. We need that to be spiritually alive in Christ.
Yes, we do.
And I'm also praying right now how I can better serve him in his church through those corporal works of mercy. For Jesus says over and over again in Revelation, I know your works.
Right. We're emphasizing that today for sure.
So I want him to be able to say that positively to me when he comes to take me home. So my encouragement to all of our listeners is if you might feel like you're not fully alive in Christ, heed the call of Jesus when he says, so let us not sleep as others, but let us keep awake and sober. And as I continue to heal, I'm really thankful to the Lord for giving me this test in my life and the opportunity to continue to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. So Peter, would you like to share a few of your reflections or pray for us?
Well, just a short mention, Leslie, that when you were going through all that, we were in the city emergency room, and there was just hurting people all around us, just raw humanity of people that were in need of the Lord Jesus Christ, and were very desperate, and renewed our vision too to be evangelizing, that people out there are really need the Lord, right?
Right. We spend a lot of our time in ER praying for the people around us.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it'd be good, Leslie, on this theme of being coming alive, that we pray for ourselves and for our listeners in this such important area that we're speaking of today.
Yes, we need this.
Lord, we ask you to send the Holy Spirit upon us, upon all our listeners today. We desire to be alive in Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask, as you spoke to the church in Sardis, that you would forgive us for the places that we have kind of gone to doing things by rote and not by the Spirit. And we ask, O Lord, that you would cause our good works to come forth and to become alive, and that we would serve you in the life of the Spirit that Jesus spoke of in Sardis. In Christ's name we pray, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, it's time to wrap this week's program up. So thank you, listeners, for joining us today as we seek to connect you to the rebuilding and the renewal of the Catholic faith here in the moment. And feel free to hear any of our past programs by going to CatholicRadioIndy.org, where you can access them through the podcast tab on the webpage. And goodbye for now, and
keep the faith.
You've been listening to Go Rebuild My Church with Peter Doan. Podcasts of this program are available at www.catholicradioindy.org.